the only thing you can really do is be cautious, vigilant, and alert. We've had a number of attacks now on federal workers, especially in the executive branch. Of course, the very worst was the 1995 bombing in Oklahoma City. But then in February of last year, we had a deranged person fly his aircraft into an IRS office in Austin, Texas. And now this is very disturbing because now it's spreading to the legislative branch. And we have what can be seen as a politically inspired murder, even though, you know, the shooter in this instance doesn't seem to have had a very specific aim, a political aim, even though he had a very specific target. But still, it's this anti-government violence now spreading from simply executive branch workers over into the legislative branch, and that's extremely disturbing for our form of government.
And just glancing through some of the posts that he had put up on Facebook and other social networking sites, it seemed that he was an individual who was looking for an excuse to blame government for something. Mm-hmm. So to try to pin an actual political agenda on him at this point almost seems to be specious.
Yeah, he even blamed the government for imposing rules of grammar, which apparently he didn't like, as can be seen from his posting.
And we've learned now that he was kept out of the Army because of a failed drug test, and perhaps he was sorely disappointed over that.
And don't forget that Timothy McVeigh was disappointed. Even though he was in the Army, he was denied access, entry into the Special Forces. So he had a grievance as well against the United States. And the Army seems to have a pretty good system for finding people who aren't appropriate for its ranks. But, of course, it can't track them once they leave the Army or fail its tests.
Now, I think a fair question is, does this incident fall into a category of some kind of domestic terrorism? Can you use that word since he did seem to be just a disgruntled individual?
Well, it's very interesting because we've had a lot of concern about jihadist radicalization and people being inspired by people like Anwar al-Awlaki out in Yemen. And that's the person who inspired Major Nidal Hassan to shoot up people in Fort Hood, Texas. He killed 13 people. Here you have somebody whose inspiration was perhaps more diffuse, but whose effects were the same and who went after a civil official. And the effect is the same. These people are inspired by extremist rhetoric to take extremist action, and they're unstable or unbalanced to begin with. And then they express it through violence against their system in one form or another. You know, qualitatively, I don't see a whole lot of difference between Hassan and this character. So, we're realizing the impact of rhetoric, and we're realizing the impact of the environment created by people who are inspiring others to do violence against the United States.
From a Homeland Security perspective, is there a takeaway from this? Does DHS have a role, or is it just left to the FBI in trying to round this case up and take any kind of preventative measure?
Well, remember, the Secret Service is part of the Department of Homeland Security. So certainly, as it pertains to the president, and as it pertains to people who have Secret Service protection, there's a takeaway, and then simply there should be heightened vigilance at this time. But, they can't protect everybody all the time. However, the FBI especially has been doing a very good job of monitoring extremist websites on the jihadist side of things. And you saw a number of sting operations that grabbed people who were, effectively lone wolves. Whether they can do this on the domestic side is problematic. I mean, earlier efforts at domestic surveillance have gotten a lot of criticism and a lot of angst over privacy issues and over whether this is the government intruding on civil expression. But very clearly, there are people who do provide warning signs of potential extremist action, and you simply have to monitor that and hopefully prevent it and stay alert and keep it from happening in general.
Okay, I'm tempted to ask you about technology. It seems the old saw that if we can put a man on the moon, it seems like we might be able to prevent this kind of thing.
Yeah, well, we can't get inside people's heads. That's the problem. And would we want us to, as it were?
in hindsight, you can look back at some of the things that he had written and say, well, gee, yeah, it seems like he was ready to go off the deep end. But then again, practically, it's impossible to keep track of everybody and, exactly. and everything that people post on Facebook or whatever.
Exactly. And look, you had all the postings at the Virginia Tech shooting. You know, this guy had done all kinds of postings. He hated the school, and yet nobody could stop that. I mean, you know, if you look at gun control, we seem to have made a decision, a collective decision, by whatever imperfect means, that we're willing to accept these occasional rampages, massacres, and shootings as the price of the right to bear arms, you know? And so this is what you're going to get. I mean, you can either control the arms, which we've decided that we don't want to do, or you can put up with these shootings.